The new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm hasn't even started yet, but it feels like we're all living in an episode right now after what Larry David did to Elmo on the Today Show yesterday. Watch.
Let's go over to Al for a check of the weather.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh. You love Elmo, don't you?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Larry, Elmo liked you before.
Ask permission before you touch people, Larry.
Okay, so people are outraged, you know, that it's a puppet, folks, okay?
There's a Muppet.
There's a puppeteer with his hand up Elmo's behind. He didn't attack a person.
He attacked
the felt,
this
would, okay?
Would people you defend if he attacked Santa? Like, that's practically what he did.
Go ahead.
I mean, what?
It's a Muppet. Yeah. What's the difference?
There's a difference. Okay. Is there not a difference? I'm sorry. We all just trauma dumped on Elmo this week. The poor guy is trying to deal with
it's not a person,
health.
Alyssa.
He represents
a puppet.
No,
he's real.
It's a Muppet. As I was saying.
It's a puppet.
It's a Muppet!
Hello, it is me with no Marie. We are beefing again. Actually, after the last episode of our podcast, Marie, we closed our laptops and Marie said to me, Kevin, I can't record another episode for like a month. And I said, oh my God, you're getting a BBL. And she didn't confirm or deny, but she then said, I trust you'll find a suitable replacement. And although I didn't have a roster of replacements lined up this month, I did find a suitable replacement after all. And so joining me today in place of Marie is someone who has an encyclopedic knowledge of The View, someone who is a leading View archivist on YouTube, someone who is a huge Rosie O'Donnell fan, and someone who is blocked by Meghan McCain for creating the viral My Father, My Father, My Father, My Father, My Father, My Father, My Father montage. And that is Caleb Stark.
Hi.
Welcome
to Deja
the View.
Yeah, welcome to me. I'm so excited. I feel like a Make-A-Wish kid who won a contest to be on their favorite podcast. Like, literally the only podcast I listen to is this one, so it's a little crazy. But yeah, I'm excited, and I'm excited that the Meghan McCain video made it into my intro, because I want it on my tombstone. Like, that is my greatest accomplishment, that I kind of ruined her life.
Did she ever comment on it or, like, reference it apart from just blocking you?
Girl, she wrote about it in her book, in her audio memoir. So she, she said that it was cruel and it weaponized the love of her dead dad. But in my mind, it was just like funny that she said it literally every single day on The View. Like, I was unemployed at the time when I made the video, watching The View every day, like someone who's unemployed can do. Like every time I went to her, she would say my father, and it like became a joke. Wonder if she's going to say my father. And then finally I did sit down and go through the archives and rip out every single time she said it and put it together. Anytime she says anything, someone's in the comments saying my father, my father, my father to her. So I'm sorry. But also I'm not, cause it's very funny to me.
The thing is, if you hadn't done it, someone else would have.
Oh, for sure.
And, okay, maybe it's a little cruel, but it was a fact. She was saying my father. We needed to see it all together. It brought people joy. What do you want to do?
And here's the thing. I regret not waiting a little bit, because I could have got a little bit more material. Because ever since then, she doesn't say it. She says my dad. Right. It'll, like, slip out every once in a while, but it's a rare occurrence for sure.
What do you think your next montage would be? Would it be Alyssa Farah Griffin saying, real quick, real quick, real quick? Or
I feel like
can
I
just
even,
get in here?
I don't know Alyssa like that to know her vocal quirks or whatever. I do have a montage ready to go that I will reveal when the time is right to you exclusively on this podcast today.
Oh, and where can people see that? On the View archives?
No, I'll play it for you today, and I'll post it after this is. Yeah, I got it for you.
Okay, very exciting.
Yes.
So,
oh yeah, the other thing too, I should talk about the View archive, right? So I've been like stockpiling these videos, full videos of episodes of The View in like my personal collection, which is like a little loserish, but also great. And I was inspired by that Wendy, there's like a Wendy Williams archive on YouTube, and I was like, oh, well, they're getting away with it. I should just post these full episodes and see what happens. Because, like, honestly, I'm, like, a little nervous that one day Disney's going to be, like, delete the whole thing, and I'll put all this work in for nothing. But so far, so good. I have, like, 3 months left of full episodes to be posting, and I have been posting them regularly, so I'm happy that people are watching them. I love to read the comments and, like, see people, like, talking about stuff that's 15 years old, like it happened yesterday. It's just so funny. Like, so-and-so said this, or Elizabeth, I can't believe Elizabeth said that. It's like, I don't think she probably remembers saying that, because it was 15 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it would be such a treat if ABC would put old episodes of The View online somewhere. But I fully get why that would be such a bad idea for them, because people can't understand how culture changes over time.
Totally.
Like, Sherry Shepherd would be her talk show right now would be canceled because someone would look at an old clip of something she said on The View.
Well, the other thing is, too, like, Whoopi and Joy are still on the show, so, like, they could cause trouble for the current panelists based on something they said on the show a million years ago. And, I mean, I don't, like, draw attention to them, but there are some times that I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, God, like, hopefully this doesn't go viral because it could ruin someone's life, so.
Absolutely. So, I'm sad, but I get it. But thank goodness you're able to keep doing this, following in the footsteps of Rosie O'Donnell, uploading full episodes to her YouTube channel. And hopefully you don't get shut down.
Could happen, but if it does... I mean, I tried. Don't complain to me. I'll probably find another place to, like, put them and tell people about it, but yes.
Did you see or hear, actually, that Rosie O'Donnell is ending her podcast Onward?
Oh, really? No. So here's the thing. I fell behind in Onward and haven't really been listening to it for the past couple months.
So I kind of fell behind recently because I just wasn't really, like, vibing with some of the guests. Choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of fell behind. I'll always catch up, but I turned it on yesterday and it was just Rosie and her producer, who has an amazing, like, cigarette smoker voice.
Oh, Lori. Yeah. I know her. She is great. Yeah, we love Lori.
And Rosie announced that she's ending her podcast, and it was actually very triggering for me because she said, well, I was on a 1-year contract, which just like The View.
Story of Rosie, her life. At least she didn't quit. But I mean, there's probably a couple weeks left that
she loves a 1-year project.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, she just kind of said that she's gearing up for the next stages of life. Her child, Clay, is like changing schools, or she's trying to figure out where they should go to school, so she might move. And the most interesting reason that she's leaving the podcast, she said, is because she's interested in having live conversations. So she said she wasn't really, like, feeling the podcast format, because when people would call in and, like, leave messages with questions on the podcast, she wanted to just, like, talk to them. Mm-hmm. But you can't. So she's like, basically, essentially what I was hearing is that she wants to go into radio, but I don't
know. I'm happy you say that, because I'm a pretty big Rosie fan and have consumed a lot of the media that she's been a part of over the years. I think that her SiriusXM show that she had is the best thing that she's ever done. Like, it's so entertaining. I love it so much.
I never really got to listen to that.
I didn't actually listen to it as it aired. I listened to it after the fact. I have, like, a couple months of it, so I haven't heard the whole thing either. But, man, like, just, like... Rosie's at her best, I find, when she's, like, working off of someone. So, like, in the Onward thing, I kind of missed that part of it. She's just, like, talking to her guest. It's fun when she has a peanut gallery or, like, a group of people that she's working with. And there was, like, a bit of an ensemble
there.
Like The View. Yeah, like The View, exactly. Where she's the one in charge. And that, like, that's, she works the best in that. So I would love to see that again. But she, I mean, she's always said that they can't pay her enough money, which I understand, because she is worth a lot, I think.
I just feel sad because it was such a nice glimpse into her day-to-day life, which, but luckily, she is still a TikTok star. So we will always have that.
So this is the problem I've had with Rosie over the past couple of years. I feel like I have fallen out of touch of what she's doing in her life, and it's because I used to keep up with her through Ask Ro on her website. She has completely stopped doing that in lieu of doing her TikTok Q&As or whatever, and I'm not really on TikTok, so I don't really see what she's up to on there beyond what she like cross posts onto Instagram and stuff like that.
She's not just on TikTok, she's leading the way.
Right, I feel like she's a star, right, on TikTok, and I just don't even really know that part of her.
Well, there's still time to download the TikTok app.
True. And honestly, she could come back to The View for all we know.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah.
why don't you tell anyone listening what has been your journey with The View? Like, when did get into it?
I feel like it's like one of those... Like, everyone says that when they were, like, a kid who was homesick, they got to watch The Price is Right. It was like, I got to watch The View. So, like, I kind of saw, like, the early years, way back when, but don't really remember much about it. But when it comes to when I really got into it, it was the year that Rosie was on for the first time. Because, like, people who are younger maybe don't realize how, like, crazy that season was. Not just, like, as a View fan, but just, like, as a person who... paid attention to celebrity gossip, because it was like on every news, like every entertainment news, real news too, like CNN would be like covering The View regularly. It was just like completely bananas. So I got really into it then. Of course she leaves in her split screen moment, which was mentioned today on The View. I don't know if you saw that. No, you didn't. You didn't watch today.
Sadly, for anyone listening, I am not up to date on The View today, which apparently was a huge day where Alyssa had a liquid dumped on her head. But hopefully you can fill me in on that at some point.
Yes, I will. But yes, there was a question today as part of that game that was about the split screen. So anyways, on that fateful day... she left, and I kind of left, too. I didn't really continue watching The View past when she was on. Kind of caught it here and there. Got back into it when she was announced to be the new co-host again in 2014. And then, have been kind of watching on and off ever since. Was most into it recently when Megan was on. Haven't been super into it the past couple. I feel like we're pretty similar in our viewing habits of The View, in that we haven't been like super in touch with the past couple of years, but we're super in touch, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I do feel like, I guess it's an ebb and flow always with The View, mm-hmm. But it's so then true. Again, apparently I missed something huge today with a bucket of something being dumped on Alyssa Farah Griffin's head. So actually, I do want to talk a bit about that, because have you seen this narrative going on with Entertainment Weekly and Alyssa Farah Griffin and sperm?
I have. So I watched like the past week's episodes in preparation for this, and when she said her comment about rubbing sperm on her face, it did, you know, my ears did perk up. I was like, huh, interesting thing to say. But it does kind of get brushed aside. Joy laughs quite hard and kind of looks right at her, and then they kind of move along. It wasn't until I saw that there were headlines that I realized it maybe was such a big deal, and also that they removed it from the YouTube upload. So I guess they're trying to like protect Alyssa from her cum joke. but I mean, I'm always happy for a View headline, regardless of what it is. It's fun to see people's, take on it.
I love it. I love that Alyssa is bold enough to make a jizz joke on live television. But it was very funny given like the context of the conversation that they were having.
Right. And Sarah had just eaten Sunny up.
In this topic about IVF and whether an embryo is a baby, Anna is talking about sperm and how you can freeze sperm, but you can't freeze a baby. Or you can freeze an embryo, but you can't freeze a baby. And then Anna said something about thawing the sperm out and, like, who knows what you do with it. And that prompted Alyssa to say you could use it as a face cream. And I guess The View tried to censor that and they felt it was worth bleeping. So when I first saw it, I didn't hear it because it was cut out of, like, the YouTube video where I was watching it for the first time. But apparently, if you live in Canada, we still got it.
Yeah, we did.
And then I saw that Entertainment Weekly had a headline that was, like, about how The View removed this. And then today, there's a new headline that says, The View pours milk on Alyssa Farah Griffin after sperm face cream comment. So apparently it was a little too soon after that incident to be pouring milk on Alyssa's head.
I like the implication from that headline that they did it because she made that comment and it was related at all.
It's deeply linked. But I do want to talk about this argument that Sarah and Sunny had during this jizz joke topic. They were talking about how the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children and that all of these IVF clinics in that state are halting IVF treatment. And then they played this montage of Republicans reacting to that. And this sparked this like heated discussion between Sunny and Sarah that we haven't seen on The View in a really long time. Sunny was talking about how she thinks that this is, like, related to race. And Sarah is, like, immediately, like, tried to shut that down and be like, no, I don't think it's a race issue at all. I think it's just that classic Republican thing of, like, until it affects me, I don't care about it. So right from jump, like, Sarah clocked in for her shift and was like, no, I actually want to, like, bring Sunny the same energy that Sunny brings me all the time, and I'm going to let her have it. What did you think about their dynamic in this discussion?
I mean, here's what I always feel about Sunny when she's talking about abortion or she's talking about IVF. I feel like she's, like, just trying, like, she might believe one thing or another, but I feel like she's being contrarian just to give the rest of the panel a chance to attack her over something. Like, I've always felt that when she's talking about abortion, like, she doesn't really even maybe believe it as strongly as she pretends she does, just so someone can have something to talk about. So I did feel a bit of that when they were fighting. Like, I felt like Sunny maybe secretly agreed with Sarah, even though she was, like, reading her. I mean, like you said, it was nice to see the switch between Sunny usually being the one who's taking on Sarah and being the other way around. And Sunny honestly not really having much of a defense or much to say to what Sarah said, I didn't think anyways.
Maybe you're onto something there, because I often do feel like Sunny is kind of the MVP of the panel, because she has learned from Joy almost to not really care whether her opinion is a popular opinion or not, and to just commit to something and, mm-hmm. like, say it with your chest. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, like, why she's so valuable to that panel, because there's so many times when, like, the rest of them don't really want to, like, get into it with each other, but Sunny, like, always seems down to just, like, throw out a strong opinion, even if it's about, like, a celebrity. Like, she'll say something really controversial just to, like, give people something to, like, have mm-hmm. a conversation about.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what honestly frustrates me about Alyssa, is that she doesn't do that enough, despite, like, supposedly being the one with the different politics on the panel. Basically, Sunny was saying that she does believe that an embryo is a baby. And Sarah took issue with that because she's like, well, let me check you on that, because this is a scientific fact, like, that it is not.
50% of Americans believe that a human embryo is a baby. I'm one of those.
Well, then let me just check you again on the terminology.
Especially because I went through IVF.
Wait 1 second. Yeah, but that doesn't mean facts change.
It just felt like Sarah had, like, put on a whole different persona. I was like, who are you? And I like this person. The fact that Sarah Haynes uttered the words, "let me check you," to Sunny Hostin.
Right.
Like, that's what I expect Sunny to say to Sarah. I don't think I've ever seen Sarah just, like, meet Sunny in that way and be like, I got you. Like, I'm winning this.
You are on Candid Camera now.
You are on What Would You Do?
Yeah. What would you do if Sarah Haynes ate you up on live TV? So the thing is about this, too, is that it was, like, kind of a continuation on a conversation that happened a couple days ago, which was, like, a bit of a repeat. So I feel like Sarah had a couple days to, like, really think about her point, because they had just talked about it a couple days before and then really was able to say what she felt effectively, and it came across, obviously.
There was a part where Sunny said, I went through IVF, and Sarah said, yeah, but that doesn't mean facts change. And
right, I think, yeah. Something about science, like science.
And I think that's going in Sarah's exit montage. The next time she leaves the show, that's going in the exit montage.
Like Abby's Really Sunny, Really Sunny.
I saw a lot of people, like, wanting to drag Sunny for saying that she doesn't support abortion. And even though, like, I don't agree with anything Sunny is saying in this, I still feel the need to be like, not too much on Sunny, because I appreciate that she's bringing, like, a different opinion, but also that she isn't trying to, like, take away people's abortion rights. She's just like, this is what I believe, and I'm just expressing that. So I feel like she does get some credit for that. What I also thought was really funny in this is that there's a moment where Alyssa tries to have, like, a gotcha moment with Sunny, because Sunny is starting to say, I believe an embryo is the beginning of human life. And Alyssa cuts her off. She's like, then why do you support abortion?
And I know this.
Why do you support abortion if you believe that?
Oh, I do not support abortion. I've said this over and over again.
Now, how does Alyssa fuck that up so bad? Because how many seasons of The View has Sunny been on saying that she doesn't support abortion? And she's constantly telling us about how her opinion has evolved on abortion over the years. And although she doesn't believe in abortion, she doesn't believe that people shouldn't have access to them. Or, like, she believes people should have the right to decide for themselves, even though she doesn't support abortion. So how is Alyssa fucking that up so bad that she's going to say, then why do you support abortion, Sunny? Like, that was your big moment, Alyssa.
Right, and you blew it.
Do you think Alyssa is, like, actually not listening to anything Sunny's saying ever? Or do you think she's deliberately playing dumb to, like, mislead people about Sunny?
The thing is, like, Sunny has, like, this is, like, I have been really watching The View for the past little bit. But, like, that is a very known fact about Sunny, is that she, like, her and Megan were the anti-abortion panelists. I think that... Honestly, I think that Alyssa, she still looks scared. She just looks scared of everything, really. Like, I don't even think she thinks before she talks. She just says what's on her notepad. And maybe she wrote it down wrong or something.
I struggle because, like, I like her more and more the more time I spend with her. But it's like, I think I might not like you as a View co-host, but I'm starting to see that you could be kind of a fun gal.
her jizz comment is, like, the first time I felt that. When she made that comment, I was like, oh yeah, she can be funny sometimes. I'm honestly a never Alyssa still. Like, I'm still not into her at all. And I know she's been there for what, like, God, 2 years now or something?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, I really have. I don't know. She reminds me so much of, like, the Jedediah era, where it was just like, okay, now the Republican says something that doesn't really even matter. You know what I mean? Like, they all say their thing, and then it's her, and she says her thing, and then there's never even really any discussion on what she says. It's just like, okay, here's your point. Great. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a big problem with, like, this era of the show in general. Not always, but I think, like, sometimes they do forget to talk to each other because they are just saying their points. But I've evolved a lot on Alyssa, but what I'm missing from her is I just, like, need her to bring the same passion that Sunny, Sarah have, learned to bring to the mm-hmm. discussion and stop caring about whether people like her or not.
I will say part of this discussion, something that stood out to me, Anna got like a little lick in, and it was when she asked Sunny if the Catholic Church believes in IVF. And Sunny had just for like this segment and the one that happened a couple days before talked so much about how she did IVF and that's why she feels so closely to it. And like she admits when Anna asks her, like the Catholic Church is against it. But the reason that she's also against abortion is because the Catholic Church is against it. So it's like, why can she do one and not the other and feel good about it? That's like, it just seemed very confusing to me. And it just like, there wasn't even much discussion afterwards, but like, I don't know, said enough.
Well, you know what Sunny should have said to Anna is that's quite rich coming from the Republican on the panel who is the biggest critic of all Republicans.
Right.
So, you know, these ladies contain multitudes. Okay. So a lot of stuff happened this past month, and therefore Deja the View received a lot of voice memos and questions from listeners. So I'd love to kind of go through some of these with you. And I actually reached out to Marie for a few of them, and she graciously recorded some responses to a few of these as well. She took time out of her recovery.
This is like the season of The Simple Life where they weren't in the same room with each other because they were feuding.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. So here's the first one. I'm going to hold my phone up to the microphone and play you a screen recording of a voice memo.
Amazing.
Mariel from New York. Something that has bothered me a lot for a while now that I'd love to hear you guys talk about is in the, well, I don't even know what you call it, like opening pictures or like, you know, whatever, the promotional pictures and stuff and videos, Alyssa is sitting on Whoopi's lap. Like, what? I don't know. There's so many layers, so many things I think about. Like, is Megan looking at that really jealous? Like, I didn't get to sit on Whoopi's lap, but also, like, she's Whoopi Goldberg, and I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. Okay, I'm rambling now. I'll stop. Goodbye.
You're so right. Like, it is Whoopi Goldberg. What are you doing on her lap, girl? Get off of Whoopi Goldberg's lap.
Well, like, I feel like that is a bit of an over-exaggeration. She's not, like, sitting on her lap. She's, like, kind of, like, on the side of the chair.
It looks to me like she's sitting on her lap.
I feel like I have
by way of the side of the chair.
Yeah, but I feel like there is no skin. Oh, never mind. Now I'm looking at the picture. No, she's in her lap. I think that Alyssa took the opportunity that was presented to her, which was that Whoopi was sitting in a chair and she was placed behind her, and Whoopi was never going to get up out of that chair until the shoot was over. And she's like, I'm going to sit here. What's she going to do in front of the cameras? And she did it.
Yeah. I also have a theory that because Alyssa, the previous season, was on the end, which made her very easy to crop out, I think she went into this shoot and said, if you're putting me on the end, then I'm going to sit on Whoopi Goldberg's lap and then see if you can crop me out. And then even in the other photos, she's like very strategically placed in places where you could never crop her out. So I think she's a girl who knows how to put together a strategy, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if Whoopi wasn't okay with it, she probably would have made them shoot it again.
It kind of reminded me of the season, one of the seasons with Abby and Megan where they had the mugs with their faces on it. On that mug, Abby is sitting in a taxi and Whoopi is like opening the door for her. And it kind of reminds me of that, of like, why is there always a brunette woman that Whoopi is like in service to in the promotional materials?
Either opening the door or being their chair.
Would you like to hear what Marie had to say about this
when I sent
her this question?
We love Marie.
Hey divas, it's Marie here, coming to you live from the scene of the 2023 Peabody Award winning investigative report, What's in the Mugs? I'm currently away from the phone, but I wanted to weigh in on some fabulous and titillating questions you had for us. I know that I have a reputation for sending 19-part voice memos, but I'll try to keep these short and sweet. First up is Mariel's question. This was an amazing question and something that I hadn't noticed, so I'm really glad that you pointed this out. It does appear that Alyssa is indeed sitting on Whoopi Goldberg's lap in those promotional photos. Really great observation. The first thing that came to my mind, much like you pointed out, was the Santa Claus connection, the Call Me Claus of it all. But what I wanted to know, and Kevin, I would love to hear your point of view about this as well. You know how when kids sit on Santa's lap, they like wish, or they tell Santa what they want for Christmas or what their wish is for that year. I think that if you sit on Whoopi's lap, you get to wish for who you don't want in your house. And then if you're nice, Whoopi will grant that for you. So I just would like to know who Alyssa wished to not have in her house. Second thing that I'd like to point out from those images, Sarah kind of has her hands, her arms under Anna's arms. It's like, you know that like classic TV gag where like someone will do the other person's makeup, or they're like, they're making a pie or something, and like the person stands behind the one in front and they put their arms in front of them as if they're like making a pie or doing makeup. I think that that's something that The View should explore for a segment. You know, it's like the thought was there, now see it through. I would like to see that.
So what I failed to mention is that there was a follow-up photo to this question of Call Me Claus. So okay. That's where the Call Me Claus came. Is there was an attached photo.
Okay. I think Marie is onto something. Though I think that if she was wishing for anything, Alyssa would probably be wishing for like a 5-year contract at The View. Like a solid something where she knew she wasn't going to get fired.
I wouldn't be surprised if she has one. I feel like she's locked in, but I've been wrong many times before. Yeah, I think, as Marie was saying, who do you think Alyssa was wishing to not be in her house? All I can think was, like, if this were being asked on The View, Joy would be, like, salivating to say, Donald Trump!
Right. So what you missed today when she got the slime dumped on her is that Joy made a comment about, you used to work for Donald Trump, so that's why I'm doing this.
So can you tell me what this segment was about, right? where Alyssa had slime dumped on her head today that I missed?
Yes. So the former host of Double Dare on Nickelodeon apparently is doing a one-man show or something. So he was there to promote that, but then they were like, okay, great. Can we just play Double Dare? So they had a Double Dare competition where Alyssa and Joy were facing off against Sarah and Sunny, while Whoopi, of course, did not participate. She sat there, like, she did not want to be there. It was kind of funny. She was, like, behind the podium, just, like, sitting there with her, you know, head on her hand. And then they went back and forth, did a couple questions, and then, I guess, like, I don't know, I didn't really watch Double Dare when I was a kid, but, like, there was something, and then next thing you know, they were, like, squeezing milk out of a glove into a cup. And then Alyssa and Joy lost. And then the punishment was that Alyssa had to get slime dumped on her.
And it was white. It was a white liquid.
So, no, the challenge that they did before she lost was milk in a glove that was supposed to simulate, okay, like, milking a cow. When they lost that, then it was green slime, which it did not look like Nickelodeon slime. It looked like something that was made in the back offices of The View by, like, a production assistant.
Okay, that's why it's important to read the full article and not just the headlines before you hop on a podcast to talk about The View. That's great. I wish that they had slimed her Katy Perry at the Teen Choice Awards style.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, too. She was definitely standing on an X, and the bucket was there, but I think she must have been a little bit to the right or the left of where she was supposed to be, because when the slime came down after they'd been, like, hyping it up for, like, before the commercial break, like, come back when someone's getting slimed, it, like, landed on her, but, like, mostly landed on the floor.
Oh, my God. And, like, it's not like they can re-slime her. It's live television.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I love that, and, like, bravo to whoever
The questions
to post doing dares
in the double dare thing. One of the questions was the Rosie and Elizabeth question. One question was about what is the top rated episode of The View of all time, which apparently is the Obama episode. Who knew? And then the final question, which no one got, is like, how many episodes, including today, have The View had, or has The View had? And it was like, they were like, I don't fucking know. Like, who's going to know that right off, including today? Like, it was obviously not even going to be rounded to like the nearest five. So that's when there was like a back and forth of some sort, and then they had to do the challenge.
So what was the Rosie O'Donnell question?
It was what, like, which two hosts had a famous split screen on the show?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever, I love that they went for it.
Okay, so here's, I feel like this is the opportunity to play my montage. So, Rosie keeps getting brought up on The View, mostly by Joy.
Again, I bring you back years when he attacked Rosie O'Donnell on this show. He was so vicious to her, you can't even imagine. People who've been watching the show remember when he took on Rosie O'Donnell. He went bananas when Rosie O'Donnell mentioned his financial situation. Rosie O'Donnell famously made fun of him. One more thing. You know, when Rosie O'Donnell went after him, everybody remembers that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to hand it to Rosie O'Donnell, I have to, because when back in the day, when he went after her, like, the most vicious attack on that woman. And, you know, we also know his true colors ever since he attacked Rosie O'Donnell back in the day. When he and Rosie O'Donnell had that big to-do, don't remember that? Big fight they had. He's bringing Rosie O'Donnell. I wish Rosie would call in on this. Rosie, watching the show, call us.
Oh my God, I love that so much. You know, I said that you're a View archivist, but Joy is definitely also keeping the memories alive.
Oh, she's keeping the memory. So Joy is keeping the memory of Rosie alive, and I know, like, she wasn't there when Rosie and Whoopi had the thing, so I think she doesn't even realize how it probably triggers Whoopi every single time it gets brought up. Because she really, obviously, brings it up a lot. And, like, most of those are within the last year. Like, I think she's starting to forget, obviously, that she keeps saying the same things over and over and over and over again.
That's the thing. I just don't think she realizes how often she says it. She probably thinks that she says it, like, once every couple years, but it's actually, it's getting to, like, once every couple weeks. But yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, great. It's amazing. And it's true. What she's saying is true. Like, the New York Times won a Pulitzer Prize for, like, their big report on Donald Trump's financials and that he wasn't as rich as he said he was. And it's like, girl, that's what Rosie said on The View 15 years ago. Like, where's her Pulitzer, you know?
That is the beautiful thing about Rosie O'Donnell on The View, is that, like, so many of the things that were controversial are now just facts.
Oh, 100%. She's very ahead of her time in that way. Maybe not the 9/11 conspiracy stuff. That might not be the best. But other than that, it's great.
Okay, so bunch more listener questions.
I know that you mentioned on the last podcast that you were watching Traitors, and I wanted to ask, what View co-host would you most like to see on season 3 if a View co-hosted it? Which I don't think is likely, but we can imagine.
Are you watching The Traitors?
I am watching The Traitors. Is this question current co-hosts or all-time co-hosts?
I think anyone is fair game.
Okay, I have an answer, and I hope you don't take it. You go first.
Oh, well, my answer is obviously going to be Star Jones.
Oh, okay. But it's not mine. Good answer, though.
But only if NeNe Leakes can join, because I would really like to see an update on their relationship. But I almost wonder if NeNe Leakes is, like, blacklisted. I feel like she went against Andy Cohen, so she probably can't.
She wasn't in on the Coke list or whatever. Did you see that?
Yeah,
today?
But I would on the Coke list. I would love Star Jones, but I would also accept Anna Navarro. But also only if Star Jones and NeNe Leakes are there.
Mine is Raven. I think Raven would be the most fun. on the Traitors.
Yeah, I wonder if Raven is, like, too famous. I
don't know. Are you that famous? Classic Raven moment on the show. Oh, here's another thing I want to talk about, so this is like maybe a good segue into it. Rosie and Raven on 25 Words or Less was, like, the best thing that I've seen in so long when it comes to a game show. And I, like, honestly, I've never been, like, a huge Raven fan. I loved her on that show with Rosie and Meredith as their leader.
So how does that show work? And where were you watching this view reunion?
They're on YouTube, all of the episodes. It started, so they shoot, like, I think 6 episodes. I'm sure they shoot them in one day. But so 2 celebrities are, like, matched up for a number of episodes. So it's not like every day there's a different celebrity. It's like 2 will shoot together and then they'll be on for the week or whatever. Rosie was on in the fall with Urkel, Jaleel White. And those were all right, like, whatever. Then she was just recently paired with Raven. And they posted originally, like, a little, like, video of them together talking about New York slang as, like, a promo for the episodes. And, like, right from there, I was like, these women have chemistry. Like, it's crazy. If you watch the videos, Rosie and Raven were playing off each other so well. So the show, do you know how the show works at all?
Not really.
Have you watched it? Okay.
I assume you have to guess something in 25 words or less.
Yes. So they have, like, each person has, like, 5 words that they have to guess. There's 2 different, like, normal people who are paired with a celebrity. So there's 6 players each episode. 1 with Rosie, or 2 with Rosie, 2 with Raven. They have 25, or they have words that they have to, like, they have a list of words that they have to get through. And they have to bid back and forth on how many words they think it'll take to describe all of these words, and then that their partner will get them. So even at the beginning, Raven and Rosie are, like, saying, like, oh, I think I can do this in 23 words. And then it'd be like, oh, I think I can do this in 21. And they go back and forth. And even right there, like, they had chemistry, like, going back and forth. And, like, Rosie kept picking 15. And there's, like, oh, 15's Rosie's number. And, like, it was just, like, very cool. It was also cool with Meredith being there, too, because they did, right from the jump, mention, like, oh, we were all in the same show at different times. Isn't that funny? Haha. By the end of it, like, by the last episode, like, it's like, Raven's like, you inspire me so much, Rosie. Like, you meant so much to me as, like, a person of the community. It's just, like, fully amazing.
I'm the only 2 queer view co-hosts.
So, as I'm watching it, and, like, I'm telling you, like, and the people who are listening to this, I guess, go watch these episodes. It's so fun. And it was, like, an alternate reality where this is the current view panel. It's Raven and Rosie and Meredith and, you know, 2 other random people. It just was so amazing. So I just hope people that watch it, I hope that they come back and are paired together. I also saw that apparently Rosie was on Raven's podcast, like, in the summer or something. So I assume that must have been around when they shot it. I have not listened to that yet, but I'm sure that I will at some point.
I love hearing that. And it kind of reminds me, or, like, I don't know if you watch Real Housewives, but imagine if we had, like, the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, but it was view co-hosts. Like,
Ultimate view co-hosts, yeah.
Like, I wish there were more situations to take view co-hosts from different eras and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they tried to do that a little bit with season 25, but they all have so much trauma from The View that not many of them are willing to do the podcast.
Right. And it does bum me out, the Rosie of it all, how she was not a part of that. And it's, like, kind of their own fault because they really, like, did her dirty the last time she was on there.
But maybe the next trip to the Bahamas, we get Meredith, Raven, and Rosie, and Rosie together and throw in Abby Huntsman and...
You're speaking my language.
Star Jones.
That would be the best View panel of all time. Can you imagine?
I think I just accidentally did establish the best View panel of all time.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, I'm sure the listeners don't know this, but I am, like, Abby's number one stan. Like, I am. No, me. I wish that they had, like, paid her a lot of money and brought her instead of Alyssa and made her come back. I feel so upset about how Megan ruined that for all of us. She drove her out of there. right before she was about to leave anyways. Like, they should have just kept Abby and fired Megan. Ugh, makes me so mad.
Yeah, but I don't know if Megan fully has blame. Like, Abby has said that there were a lot of people behind the scenes as well that are gone that were pushing her to say opinions on The View that she didn't truly believe. That's what she says. So I think the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. But I do think Megan is a big
I like part to scapegoat Megan any chance that I get, and I will scapegoat her now.
But yeah, that season where Abby came back for one day and she looked so hot and so confident.
No, like slim legs up the wazoo. She like strutted out there. She did her little dance. Like that was the best episode of View that season, I think.
The fact that, you know, the dance was never talked about on the show, but the fact that she like has seen the montage of her doing the little dance that she always did whenever she walked out that you made, that she, when she made her return, that she did it as like a little nod to that. The fact that like, I don't know, the fact that there's like a little something special that like only like fans of The View would ever know that has just never been talked about on The View, I think is really special.
I love that.
And I love Abby.
I do too. Let's get her. Why is she not co-hosting the next episode? I doubt she's busy. Get her on here to talk.
I would love to. That would be my dream guest, honestly. Okay, going back to the Traitors, though, I have to play Marie's answer to who she would like to see on the Traitors from The View.
Right.
Another really great question from Corey was, which View co-host would I like to see on The Traitors? I love The Traitors. I really have no notes about the U.S. Traitors currently. I love seeing Kate Chastain. I love Phaedra. I'm so torn between Phaedra and Sheree being split, Traitor and Faithful. I think I need to see one of them go all the way. And if there's a way for Phaedra to turn Sheree into a traitor so that they can both win together, that would just be perfect to me. But back to the question of which View co-host I would like to see on Traitors, very first person who came to mind was Rosie Perez. And I'll tell you why. I immediately thought of that article that that came out, because Garcelle said that when she was kind of in that kind of like soft audition process on The View, that Rosie Perez was kicking her under the table when she was like talking about things that she didn't, or talking too much about things that Rosie Perez was like, you need to stop talking. That's the kind of behavior that we need the cameras to capture on the Traitors. We need a GoPro under the breakfast table to see Rosie Perez kicking people. And specifically, if Rosie was a traitor, I just think that that's TV magic. That's appointment television. The other person who came to mind was the other Rosie, Rosie O'Donnell, of course. Simply, just, you know, first of all, to have Rosie O'Donnell in a room with a housewife, and then if I had control over who that housewife could be, if Rosie O'Donnell and Luann were in a room together, the Countess and Rosie, the Countess and Rosie O'Donnell in a room together would just, to me, be the highest level of entertainment that we can achieve on television in 2024. And like, I don't need Rosie O'Donnell to be a traitor. Rosie as a faithful would work perfectly. I'm also thinking like, if they were to bring Kate back for a third season, Kate interacting with Rosie and housewives interacting with Rosie, this is perfect. This is perfect television. And they could be getting along. They could be getting along swimmingly, and it would still be must-see TV for me. So those are my ideas. I'm also thinking, like, I was about to hang up, but the thought of, like, Rosie's experience on a cruise somehow I just feel would come into play on The Traitors, because And on her TV show, obviously, you know, she's dealt with, like, people, all types of people, people from all over the country, people from all walks of life, young people, old people, like, entertainers, and just, you know, everyday people off the street. So I just, like, think that her experience on the cruise ship also dealing with Kate Chastain, I need that to be explored, and I need cameras to be rolling as it's explored.
Okay, you know, that's the end. That's where she started to lose me a little bit, but then she brought it back to Kate Chastain from Below Deck. I sort of see the train of thought. Interesting, I mean, choices.
First, I've been a little worried that I'm going to ramble on here. That worry has just went away because there's no way I can ramble more than Maria just did about that. Two, Rosie's good at games. You know what I mean? I think Rosie thrives when she's playing a game. She's on a bunch of good game shows, so I think that she would be great on The Traitors.
I agree, but I just don't think Rosie could handle the lying, other people lying. I'm just thinking back to when she had Jerry Manthe on her talk show from Survivor, and she, like, thought Jerry was, like, true. But an evil villain.
Didn't think she was that bad because she did send her to a chocolate spa in Hershey, Pennsylvania? Question mark.
And she probably gave her an Aztec as well.
Yeah, probably. Exactly.
Okay. I have two more voice memos.
Hello, guys. This is Daniel from Brazil. After you guys started uploading new episodes, I decided to listen to some old ones. And in episode 81, you guys were talking about Sunny's first book. She sent you guys an advanced copy, and you guys were talking about the book and whatever. And I was wondering, has she since then sent you guys a copy of the sequels of her first book? If she did not, I don't know. I would call that a little bit homophobic, but I don't know. That's just me.
So I'll give you the short answer and then I'll play Marie's long answer. But the short answer is no, she did not. After we received the first book, but we did not receive the consecutive books. Are you familiar with Summer on the Bluffs and beyond?
Of course I'm familiar. I have not read any of them.
Wow. What do you think about this as a series though? And how, like, I really didn't know. I didn't expect this was going to be like a trilogy. Pretty amazing.
I feel like I should read it. One thing I find interesting about this is how much she's hammered home on The View is that she wrote it. She sat down and she wrote it, and it was just her, and she wrote it. I want to see if she's a good writer or a bad writer. Have you read them? I can't remember.
Yeah, we all enjoyed it. Like, I think it brands itself as exactly what it is, which is, like, a good beach read. So,
okay.
Yeah, and They're sex scenes.
That's what I feel like I've... Maybe it was on this podcast. I've heard the sex scenes. Or, like, has she read them on The View or something?
I'm not sure, but she has talked about how when writing the sex scenes, she has had all of her friends come over and help her come up with the scenarios.
Okay. Great.
Okay, work.
Yeah.
This is what Marie had to say.
Another really great voice memo from Daniel, who asked about Sunny's book. We famously did get a signed copy of Summer on the Bluffs, read it, loved it. We did not, as far as I know, we did not get a signed or unsigned copy of Sunny's second book, Summer on Sag Harbor. I'm not saying it's homophobic. Daniel said that it was possibly homophobic. But here's the thing. Sunny sent the first book to Sean, and Sean was kind of like the one who told us that this happened. So what I'm saying is there is a possibility that Sunny did send the second book to Sean, and then Sean in turn did not tell us and is keeping the book for himself, which, you know, that would be the act of homophobia. So if we're pointing fingers, or if there's a witch hunt towards anyone, I'm just saying that I don't want to assume that Sunny purposely slighted us. So I think that the smart thing to do as an investigative reporter would be to ask Sean, and you can direct all questions to Sean at his personal Gmail address, which Kevin has famously revealed on the podcast. Thank you.
So does the Catholic Church believe in sending an advance copy of your beach read to gay people?
I believe they may have made an exception the first time. Okay, another thing I wanted to get your thoughts on that a listener reached out about.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Oops. Is, well, I'll just read it. Hi, Deja the View. I'm so glad you're back. I'm a longtime listener. Could you please discuss the big debate between the ladies about Larry David harming Elmo, along with Sarah Haynes screaming the word Muppet? Thank you. This comes from Sam. Did you watch?
So I wasn't watching it live. That is one of the View clips that I actually saw, like, the day it was posted or whatever, and was obsessed with it. Really, I love when things go off the rails right from the jump, and that is what happens in this segment. Like Joy seems so sick of everyone right from the beginning, to the point where Alyssa, like, is chomping at the bit to say whatever she has written down on her note card. And, like, Joy says something, and she kind of cuts herself off, but she says, like, can I get through the, like, fucking, like, intro? That she whispers it to Sarah as Alyssa just blurts out what she needs to say. So right from the jump, it's amazing. Sarah, I find with Sarah sometimes, like, she doesn't understand, not to be handy Sarah, she does not understand what's funny. So, like, I think she thought she was really being really funny when she kept screaming about it being a Muppet, and Joy was just like, this is so annoying, like, be quiet. Like, she didn't even really register what was happening. But yeah, I loved the segment. What I loved was what Joy was saying, that this is just a puppet. Like, why are adults sitting here discussing, like, something so stupid that kids aren't even discussing, you know?
Yeah, so to recap, Larry David attacked Elmo on the Today Show physically, like, and for no reason. And then he literally just said somebody had to do it. And that was the outrage that they were discussing. But this moment that you're talking about where Alyssa interrupted Joy and Joy was like, would you let me get through the fucking... I thought what was happening was that Joy had, like, a punchline ready and that Alyssa had stepped on her joke.
Oh, probably.
And that is what I thought pissed Joy off. And that just kind of reminded me of some things that Sherry Shepherd has said about her time on The View and how in her first few seasons she had to, like, respect the order of jokes. Sherry wasn't allowed to step on Joy's jokes. So that's what that reminded me of, and I was thinking Alyssa needs to, like, learn, like Sherry, not to step on Joy's fucking jokes.
The other thing that I loved about Alyssa, the thing that she was, like, needed to say so badly, is that when she was growing up as a family, they used to sit around and watch the Today Show. It's like, girl, that was when you were growing up. Like, no one, like, adults aren't watching the Today Show. Like, no one watches TV anymore. Like, this is, it's like, I have not heard of one kid who was traumatized by Elmo being attacked by Larry David on the Today Show.
That is so true. Like, they are on their iPads. They're watching the Today Show on live television.
There's also a point in the segment where someone brings up Al Roker, and then Joy Burt, like, is like, oh, poor Al Roker. Like, who cares?
So this is the last listener question that I got Marie's input on before she had to go back to the hospital for her BBL.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and listeners, for asking for your thoughts about Larry David's tussle with Elmo. I had heard about Larry David's tussle with Elmo. I had seen the clip. You know, it's an amusing clip in and of itself. The way that Elmo reacts is very endearing to me. I am an Elmo fan. The way that they discussed it on The View was probably one of the funniest moments and most joyous moments that I've had with The View in a long time. And that's not a diss. It just was actually a really, really special moment, I think. Of course, Sarah yelling out, "It's a Muppet," and getting increasingly agitated at Joy repeating that Elmo is a puppet, that actually spoke to me. I didn't expect to share that in common with Sarah, and that was really special to me. Elmo is a Muppet, and we should all respect that. The other thing that I really, really enjoyed was Anna saying, and I think rightfully so, I'm with her, Anna saying, if your kid is punching Elmo, then you've got much bigger issues. I think that, though it's unfortunate that a Muppet had to be harmed in order for this segment to happen, I would like to see more of this kind of debate on The View. It had everything that I want. It had outbursts, it had laughs, it had heart, it had Sarah screaming. And everyone seemed to be having a good time, and that's really what we're all here for, right? As a side note, in this discussion, seeing Sarah so passionate about a Muppet, it made me like really pinpoint something about her, and this is something that I think I see in myself as well. I think Sarah is like the type of person who has probably at one point in her life cried about how she'll never be able to be a Muppet. And you know what? That's okay. That happens to the best of us. I think that a lot of us have been there. And so to be able to relate and be so passionate about a Muppet and do it so gracefully, I think is something that we need to see on TV more.
That honestly did open up my eyes to a new way of looking at this.
What I think is funny is that I was like, I think Sarah's annoying and not funny, and Marie is like, basement flooded. She's the best, most funny person in the world.
Yeah, and that's why this is The View. So, okay, last voice memo that I had from a listener was about the Jon Stewart discussion that they had earlier this month.
Hello, Deja The View. I just wanted to talk about real quick. I don't know if I can watch The View anymore. I know you guys have expressed that sentiment before, but like, I think I'm done with the show, because especially after their Jon Stewart segment this last week, I just can't handle the defend Joe Biden by any means propaganda machine anymore. And I don't know. I think I'm good. I think I'm done. And you know, I don't like Alyssa, but in that segment, she was bringing up valid points, and they just shut her down immediately, which is really annoying, especially because they don't have a left-leaning person on the panel who can also echo those points. I think I've had enough, and that's really unfortunate to say. And Whoopi really pisses, and I love Whoopi, but she really pisses me off with the whole quote-unquote ageism thing when it comes to Joe Biden. I just get really tired of Whoopi turning the whole ageism conversation with Joe Biden. It just feels like she's making it about her a little bit, which is, you know, pull yourself out of it, Whoopi. But yeah, I know you guys have echoed the sentiment before where you can't really watch, say, political segments of The View anymore, but I don't know if this is how everyone is feeling right now, just given the whole political situation of the world, but I think I'm done with The View. What are your guys' thoughts?
I've definitely been there, and I understand how you feel, because it can be very frustrating watching them discuss the election. What do you think about this?
The beauty of not watching The View live is that you can just not click those videos. Like, any video that is going to trigger me to be annoyed, I just don't even really watch them unless I'm preparing to be on this podcast. So as I was going through stuff to prepare for this, that is not one of the videos that I originally watched. I was like, yeah, I don't really care. But when it was brought up that it would be in a voice memo, I did watch it. And the only thing I really took from it, beyond, like, just everyone getting up on their soapbox and defending Joe Biden, like, there's a point where, like, Hitler gets brought up, like, mm-hmm. just like, it's all Hitler's always brought up. Joy at one point goes, "I'm old." It's just like, that was funny. So that's my takeaway, is that it was funny when Joy said she was old.
Yeah, it's such a
It's tough because, like, obviously the situation will ultimately be, like, people will have to vote between Biden and Trump. But I don't know why the View, it's almost like The View feels like they are personally responsible for making sure that Biden is elected. And maybe they are, because they are the media. But
right.
But it just, it puts them in, like, a weird situation. And then it puts anyone who isn't, like, Joe Biden's biggest fan but likes to watch The View in a sad place as well.
Right. Well, the thing that sucks is that that article that came out so many years ago or whatever that called them the most important political show on television or on daytime, it's like, the most important of what? Like, there are no daytime shows anymore. Like, you're more important than the Kelly Clarkson show? Like, yeah, I understand how that could be true. But, like, you don't need to, like, it's just very politically, I just don't know how the producers haven't realized that they're just echoing the same thing over and over and over. And it's just bad TV to hear the same thing, hear Joy talking about how Donald Trump could be like Hitler. Like, yeah, we know. Like, we know.
But this is what I'm trying to challenge myself to do is, like, it may be bad to us, but to a lot of people watching, it probably is just perfect for them. So they probably are reaching an audience that is fucking loving it. And that's why the ratings are through the roof for them. Even as, like, I start to decline in my interest when they talk about certain things, like, clearly it's working for them, for whoever their target audience is. So I'm just trying to, like, challenge myself to be like, this one's not for me, but I'll stay tuned for the next segment where we're dumping slime on Alyssa's head.
Yes, yes. And that's, hopefully the next segment where Sarah's shoving her hands through Anna's armpits and making a cake or whatever.
Yeah, and, like, that's how I'll have to get through it. For anyone who didn't watch, they're talking about how when Jon Stewart returned to The Daily Show, one of the first things that he took on was, like, making fun of Trump and Biden's age and how they're the oldest people to ever run for president and how they actually broke their own record of being the oldest people to run. And he also just kind of talked about how, like, a lot of Democrats are coming out to defend Biden and his age and saying that he's totally fine and capable, but at the same time, they haven't really been putting him out there to defend himself, and that he turned down the opportunity to do a thing at the Super Bowl. And in this topic, as we've seen, like, day in and day out on The View, they just won't entertain any criticism of Joe Biden, let alone a criticism about his age. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is I end up finding myself agreeing with Alyssa, which is not typically how that goes, and it pains me to say that. Mm-hmm. It is totally and completely valid to criticize the president of the United States. And it's almost like The View has forgotten that.
Right.
It's fine to ask those questions. It's fine to question that a bit. It's not, like, it's the president of the United States. It's okay to have a conversation about it without getting, like, all in a huff. You know what I mean? Alyssa is making so much sense here because she's talking about, okay, well, if they really wanted to squash this narrative, why not, like, put him out there more and show us that he's not deteriorating? And she's brought up how he didn't do the Super Bowl a bunch of times.
Right. I think the quote was, it was malpractice that he didn't do the Super Bowl.
And the quote that stuck out for me is she said, it was an earned media opportunity, which just took me out because once a PR girly, always a PR girly.
right.
Like, do all the viewers at home know the difference between earned media, owned media? Do they all know that? I don't know.
No. But Alyssa, no, probably not, because I don't.
But that's my PR diva, so I love that. And her bringing this up just gets completely shut down. Like, Whoopi's response was like, well, they didn't have him do the Super Bowl because everyone was bitching and moaning and saying he's trying to get stuff done. Like, there's no conversation here. There's just, like, a bunch of people in a huff, not really willing to discuss the topic at hand.
And so this kind of maybe ties into, I think it was either today or yesterday, they talked about Joe Biden being on Seth Meyers. And suddenly, now that he's out on TV, he's the best, funniest person in the world. And, like, how could anyone criticize that he didn't do the Super Bowl because he was on Seth Meyers and he was so hilarious? And then I was like, how funny could this be? And went back and watched the Seth Meyers thing that I hadn't seen. It's like, oh, fuck. It's just, like, the typical political, like, you can tell someone else wrote the jokes and he's delivering them badly. But, like, you would think that he just, like, completely killed a stand-up set if you're listening to The View's opinion on him on Seth Meyers. It's just, like, there can be no, like you said, no criticism whatsoever, or else it's, like, you're supporting Hitler.
And also, like, okay, so you agree that it was a better strategy to put him out there on Seth Meyers.
Exactly.
So you agree with what Alyssa said now. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so exactly. Alyssa was right. Oh, yes. And the PR diva knows PR after all.
Yeah. Yes.
It's funny also because, like, they keep shutting down this conversation because they'll be like, well, we can't choose a different nominee. Like, this is what we're working with. This is what we've got. So you have to vote Trump and, or sorry, oh my God, you have to vote Biden and you have to support Biden no matter what. Otherwise, you're supporting Trump. But, like, can we not entertain a conversation of, like, who are some other Democrats that we like for the sake of, like, having a political discussion on a political show? Like, can we not just entertain the idea? But I think it's because they think that they're personally responsible for making sure that he gets elected.
Totally.
The other thing that always gets shut down is, like, Alyssa brought up people being disenfranchised, like Democrats, and brought up young people not being happy with how Biden has dealt with the Gaza issue, is how she described it, and the way he's been handling that. And, like, that's another thing where, like, it's just not a good look, the way that they talk about this. Like, Whoopi just completely shutting it down and saying young people need to learn how this works. Like, you're
she
just
did the exact same thing today, too. There was a you haven't seen it, but there was a segment talking about where do they have a primary, Michigan or somewhere, is where people were voting undeclared instead of voting for Joe Biden. Again, I have not been very in tune with American politics, so I'm not 100% sure. But the situation in Gaza got brought up. Sarah said some things that I was like, gonna pretend I never heard that. But then Whoopi did the same thing that she always does, where she just, like, starts, like, spewing, but she's not really saying anything, but she's, like, very fiery about it. And then it's just like, and then the segment's over.
Yeah, like, there's just, it's just not, it's really saying a lot that when they have these discussions that I'm like, yes, Alyssa, go off. Like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
So, but that just is what it is. And like I said, I'm sure it is hitting its audience, or else they would stop. Mm-hmm. And they're not stopping. There's no signs of stopping. So
there's not. If Trump is, God forbid, elected, they need to cancel The View that day.
If Trump is elected, then I'm blaming The View because they have been campaigning their asses off. Anyways, shall we move on to some other things?
Let's do it.
So someone left this this message that I just thought was cute that I was going to read about Darlene Love. Wanted to tell you that I was in the audience for this year's Darlene Love performance. Regina's mom was also in the audience that day. And then they wrote, key takeaways. Number one, Darlene looks and sounds even more fab in person. Number two, Whoopi was stressed the fuck out and tired from all the holiday stuff. Number three, there was a moment when Regina said, whoop, my mom is here. And she snapped back, yeah, I know. I know that's your mom. Sunny covered and gushed over her love for their family's local supermarket chain. Whoopi was, of course, very sweet and engaging with her later on. It just wasn't the right moment. Number three, Darlene was leaving the main studio to go tape behind the table, but outside those doors is very drafty, like a big open warehouse. Darlene refused to leave, saying that she needed to protect her voice, until Regina's mom stepped in and offered Darlene to wear her coat. Darlene accepted the coat and bravely walked through the drafty hallway. The end.
Wow.
Liam.
Wow. I love a boots on the ground audience story on this podcast.
We need more of them, honestly. Like,
funny you say that. I have a View audience story that's a little different because first I'll do the show and tell. This is my copy of the Marry Me soundtrack.
Oh my God.
I got this for being in the virtual audience of The View in 2022, I think, the beginning. It was after they'd went to the studio, but then there was a lockdown and then they had to go back virtual. I was like, okay, here's my moment. I never did it the whole time they were doing it when they were actually not having an audience. I'm telling you, the virtual audience on The View was the weirdest experience of my freaking life. These, like, there was a community of people who do it over and over and over again. So, one, I
That's
was scared
cute,
because
cute, though. Like, they needed that during that time.
So, I was scared that I was going to get kicked out because it said explicitly no Canadians. It was, like, U.S. only. And you had to, like, flash your passport to your webcam. So, I was like, I'm getting kicked out of here, but I'm just going to see what happens.
Why?
Didn't kick me out. I know. Crazy, right? So, they didn't kick me out. And I'm, like, there's, like, a virtual holding room with all of these different people who are also on the virtual audience. And Regina's in there, and she's, like, talking it up and, like, blah, blah, blah. But then I realized that all of these, like, old ladies know each other. They're like, oh, like, hey, Maria, how was your kid's birthday? And, like, Regina's like, oh, like, so-and-so just turned 40. Like, it was just, like, very much like, oh, I'm, like, an outsider at this party right now.
Oh my
so
God.
I, like, put my thing on mute. I'm just, like, sitting there waiting for J-Lo, which was pre-recorded, by the way. So it was, like, was not a real audience experience. But... finally, after, like, 45 minutes, Regina was, like, they were, like, calling on people during the commercial break. They'd, like, make you unmute and, like, ask you, like, what your whole deal is. And I was, like, oh, okay.
Like, Regina would call on you?
Yes. She was, like...
Work in the crowd.
Work in the crowd, except for we were all sitting in our living rooms. Finally, she got to me, and I was just, like... honestly, I haven't said anything because I thought I was going to get kicked out, but, like, it's over in 10 minutes, so I guess it's not happening. And then got a laugh from all the girlies, and that was it. And I got my soundtrack in the mail a couple months later. I don't know, it was probably, like, a month later.
I never did the virtual audience. I really should have. I missed my moment.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened to me, is that I didn't do it when they were actually doing it, and there was, like, 3 weeks where they were doing it again. I was like, this is my time. And it was fun. It was nice. I got a GIF of me... clapping.
I love that. And we we love Regina.
I say I podcast. Totally yeah, so Regina was great. I loved Regina when I got to interact with her.
You know what I was just thinking? Crowd work is very popular on TikTok right now. A lot of comedians are doing crowd work a la Matt Rife. But it's like a very popular way that people are doing comedy now. Imagine Regina was
right,
doing TikToks
yeah.
of her crowd work at The View. Like,
that would be good.
We need, I'm pitching that, The View, you can have that for free. That's all
right.
Yours.
Get, on their TikTok. That would start, be good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, last thing that was submitted by a listener is Keter says, love to hear you discuss the evolution / de-evolution of Citizen McCain's status with the LGBTQ community. She came up on the scene as a moderate Republican who strongly supported gay marriage. She served on the GLAAD board of directors and had a special segment interviewing drag queens on The View. Fast forward to her new podcast, she's lamenting Ron DeSantis dropping out of the presidential race and saying she would have been happy to vote for him. But unlike Jedediah Bila or Megyn Kelly, McCain hasn't gone down the trendy far-right rabbit hole of transphobic clickbait content. I can't find much of anything on Google about her views on current LGBTQ issues, like the Don't Say Gay law or trans rights. My guess is she doesn't really care about trans rights one way or the other, but won't come out against them because she's not ready to completely let go of her old gay credentials. What do you think about that?
Let's talk about the husband.
Yeah.
Like, I think that young Megan got a lot of attention for being the gay Republican girl. She famously has 2 no hate photo shoots, 1 solo and 1 with her mom.
She came out before Obama. She came out in support of gay marriage before Obama did. That's like her whole thing.
She came out as Tila Tequila's girlfriend.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, I think that it... now everyone's in favor of gay marriage and she doesn't get to be special, so therefore she really did never give a shit. Like, she's friends with Clay Aiken, congrats, you know?
I think it's just one of those things where, like, I don't doubt that she probably has lots of gay friends. I don't doubt that she loves drag. I don't think she has anything against trans people, but it's like one of those things where you're not really like a true ally because your actions are like, your actions are not aligned with what right. you're saying.
Right. Yeah. But she did famously do that ad with Abby Huntsman being in support of gay marriage as a Republican.
Like back in like 2012 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Didn't I send it to you?
I don't know if I've ever seen that, but I would love to. Yeah,
they're both back to back. It's like, hi, I'm Meghan McCain. And then it's like, hi, I'm Abby Huntsman. We love gay people.
I don't think I've ever seen that. But I know that Abby Huntsman's claim to the gay fame was that she left the Mormon church because she didn't agree with their views on LGBTQ people.
Good. We love Abby.
Did you watch Dawn's impersonation of Meghan McCain on Snatch Game on Drag Race?
So, I am not watching Drag Race this season, but I saw that she was playing Meghan McCain. I was like, I need to watch that, obviously. And at first, like, I saw, like, the little clip where she's, like, introducing who Meghan McCain is, and then it shows a picture of Abby Huntsman. So, amazing. And, like, even from there, I was like, oh, no, I don't know if this person gets it or not. And then when I saw the impression, it's not that good. Like, it's really not one my father. Hello.
It was so disappointing because it was all there. And actually, I always say that my Snatch Game character would be Meghan McCain because there's just so much to work with.
There's so much to work with. There really is. All it would take is like watching like a compilation video of her and like you could get it just like that. You would have so much material. And because she's so, I guess, like outspoken or just like says what she wants to say, like no matter what the question is, you could be spouting off about like sailing down the Delaware or whatever she was doing that time that Whoopi said, okay.
Yeah, you just need to like talk really fast, say my father a lot, talk about Arizona, get really offended by everything, and you're off to the races.
Exactly.
I made a TikTok about this, but like, you could tell that it was not going to go great because she didn't do any of Meghan McCain's iconic looks.
Right. Like, changing hairstyles would have been hilarious.
Yes. Like, that's a huge part of, like, the comedy of Meghan McCain is that she is this Republican and she's known for being a conservative and a Republican, and yet she herself is, like, in drag on The View, like, talking about these serious issues. Right. So, like, how funny would that have been if they had worn, like, the space buns or something? But instead, she wore this, like, fried, you know, straight blonde wig.
Yeah, and, like, it's like, she's never looked like that. Like, Meghan always has amazing hair, really.
Yeah, like, Meghan is always, like, done. She always looks right.
Right. No, I agree.
Which View co-hosts that haven't been done on Snatch Game would you like to see? So far, they've all flopped. We've had flop right. Whoopi.
I want a good Rosie.
Yeah, I actually think she got like kind of good reviews, but
and it was bad. That's what Rosie I thought fan, too.
It was bad. Yeah,
it was not the voice wasn't even, and it was like she was like mean or something.
It was just like they were just kind of being themselves, like they weren't being Rosie. Yeah, and they happened. Yeah. They're funny, so.
Who else?
Raven Simone and Meghan.
Nicole Wallace. Just kidding.
Yes.
can you imagine? That'd be a made-up character because no one would know anything. I think Rosie really is the best one. Someone said Whoopi and it sucked too.
Yeah, they did a bad Whoopi, but I think someone could come on and do a good Whoopi.
A good Whoopi, yeah.
Yeah, and also like, so View co-hosts that have been in real life on Drag Race now, we've had Whoopi, we've had Rosie Perez, we've had Debbie Matenopoulos, we've had Raven Simonier.
I wonder if they'll ever get Rosie O'Donnell. She's in LA now.
I feel like they're not asking. Like,
yeah, they should though. I think know. She would be good. She'd probably walk around the workroom.
Yeah, maybe a little talk show theme challenge.
That would be awesome. Yeah, exactly. And she's crafty, so I think she would like appreciate the craftsmanship of drag.
Maybe a crafting challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, like, who are we likely to see on the View, on Drag Race next? Sarah Haynes in a special What Would You Do challenge? All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go, Elizabeth?
This is just getting good. No, I don't think so. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Did we tell people where they can find the View archives?
No, but if you go on YouTube and search The View Archive, it's like the one that's posting full episodes, so just look for it there. There are no other socials. That is it. You can find me on Twitter, Caleb Stark, all one word. I guess that's it, isn't it?
Well, on that note, thank you so much, Caleb, for hopping on and joining me in Marie's absence. We're wishing you well, Marie, on your journey to recovery. I know it's a big undertaking getting a BBL.
Say hi to Kate Middleton for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, say hi to Kate Middleton. Send us some photos from the Willy Wonka exhibit. And until next time, thank you for listening. Have a great day, everyone, and take a little time to enjoy
Alyssa's face cream.
Would you like to say hit it, Abby?
Hit it, Abby!
That's all, folks. See you later. John Hamm's been the real job creator.
GOP. Join the hunt.
GOP. GOP.
I'm old.
We're bringing Huntsman back.
Yep.
We're right behind.